Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you woke up this morning, because you're here. So you either brought in the new year at the moment, or the blessed rest of the righteous. So I won't ask which is which today. But I hope one thing that you woke up this morning doing was remembering your name. Now, I'm sure there were some people who had trouble remembering their name this morning in our society. But, you know, names are important. Think about it. Names identify you. You answer to your name. Especially when your parents called you by your full name, you better answer real quick. You were like when I was growing up, because that was a clarion call that you had overstepped a bound somewhere, and it was. But we hear our name, and we respond. He gives us an identity. Maybe we have nicknames. Sometimes those are more meaningful to some of us than our actual names, because they speak more to who we are and what we are about. We pick those up honestly or dishonestly somewhere along in life. I say all that because all of that is true in Scripture. Both names and nicknames, because there are those in Scripture, if you haven't realized that or not, were given to people to convey something about what they were and what they were about. So when they heard their name, they were reminded not only of who they were, but whose they were, what their purpose was in serving God. Abram, from the beginning, was given the nickname Abraham, which went from father to great father, to exemplify the fact that God was telling him, even though he was called good as dead at 99 years old, he was about to have a child, and that child was to be the deliverer of many nations, of which we know three great religions grew out of Abraham's experience. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all go back to that defining moment when Abraham believed. And it was his believing that made possible. Go through Scripture, many different people, and they have different names. We've gone over this before as the names come up. But you notice today, there are several names mentioned. And each of them is very significant. Joseph, which is also an Old Testament name, means protector or defender or guardian. It has those many things because the first Joseph was the guardian of the people during a time of great famine. And so this Joseph is the protector because he dared to believe that God was at work when his society told him to put aside his espoused, to not go through with this. He was faithful and caring. Doesn't get a lot of good press, doesn't get much press at all in Scripture. But his faithfulness and carrying out that protector role is an important part of the story of Scripture. Mary, whose name means bitter. And in case you haven't noticed, there are an awful lot of Marys in 1st century AD because it was a very bitter time for the people of Israel. They were under captivity. And so, as an act of rebellion, I'm reading into this. And my way of reading this is an act of rebellion. All these parents named their girls Mary. As if to say to the Romans, it's a bitter time. The Romans wouldn't have understood what that meant. But they would have. And yet it is Mary who will experience many bitterness in her lives, whose faithfulness, again, allowed the gospel to work with her not only through the birth of Jesus, because if she had not wanted it to happen, it would not have happened, as Luther said. It took faith in all the events of her life, faith. And last, and definitely not least, is Jesus. Ever want to win a trivia contest? Here's the question that will win. How many times did Jesus ever get called Jesus in his lifetime? Zero. That is not his actual name. It is Yahshua, which is another Old Testament figure, who means Yahweh, God, is his Savior. And when the books got translated, that became translated to a more familiar term in the Greek, Jesus. So in his lifetime, I don't think Jesus ever was called Jesus, but he was called Yahshua. He would have been known as Yahshua bar Joseph. Yahshua, son of Joseph. That would have been his title in his society. Think again. Joshua, depending on how you, Hebrew is kind of strange. You could go a couple different ways with it, whether it's a Y or a J. Neither one exists in Hebrew, so it's kind of an approximation. God is his Savior. It's a powerful message in the very name, the one sent to us, who has many titles and nicknames. Emmanuel, God with us. Savior, King, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. So you go through, you do handle, you can do all that from memory, all those lists of names given to him. Just as nicknames were given to Saul, which got changed from Ruddy and Handsome to Paul, which means small, as a reminder to keep himself humble. And Peter, who was changed from Simon to Petra, or Rock, kind of, because he was kind of rock-headed sometimes. All these names and titles told people about themselves. And so when Jesus' name, Yahshua, was said, it was always repeating the message of grace. God is our Savior. And just as the first Yahshua led the people into the promised land, the promise here given is that Jesus is the one who is leading us into God's promised land from our baptisms through death to new life. The name says it all. If we remember nothing else about this story, and I hope we remember many more, it is this powerful name, Yahshua. God is our Savior. Now, they could have titled Jesus, I'm not sure what this would have been in Hebrew, so scholars know better than I do. They could have named him, I am the Savior. But notice the title is, God is our Savior. Because I think they wanted this Jesus, as powerful as he was, as an embodiment of God on earth, to always focus attention upward to the Creator and away from himself. Did you ever notice that? All the powerful people in the New Testament are very humble. And the ones who have no power are the ones who are boastful in the story. You know? It's this contrast, isn't it? It's a powerful thing. And the names pointed out as you go through all these famous historical figures. Caesar Augustus, the August One, has no real power over this child whose name means God is our Savior. Ultimately. So too for us. I hope when we say Jesus, you can say Yahshua if you like, it doesn't matter, that you remember the meaning. God is our Savior. And I hope that's helpful. Because sometimes we run around acting like we are the Savior. Like we're in charge of the universe, or at least our families, or maybe circumstances, or we're the only ones that have the answers, or we're God's gift to the world. And that's not true. It is in the humbleness of seeing how God is at work through us that we let go of our egos and our prides and our prejudices and allow ourselves to be a visible sign, as Jesus was, that God is the one at work. God is the one with the power. God is the one propelling us. So if you get some time in a situation where you're nervous or anxious, it's also nice to remember, God is my Savior, not me. I don't have to perform on this stage of life. I am free to do so because God has already claimed me. As Paul put it so dramatically, God has adopted us as his children, and if we are children, we're no longer slaves, but heirs of the kingdom. This is the message of Christianity that has echoed for over 2,000 years. Sometimes got lost a little bit along the way, because we human beings tend to distort things a lot in our lives. But every time we go back to that basic thing, that God is our Savior, that all grace and power and mercy comes to us, not because of what we have to offer, but because of what God offers us. Emmanuel, God walking with us. Savior, one who comes to redeem us from our sins, one who was willing to go to the cross for our sakes. I didn't mention this before, but I'll throw it in here. It's still Christmas season. You know where the red comes from, don't you, in Christmas? If you dig deep enough, you will find that in the ancient lands that Christianity moved to, in the north especially, they would use the holly with the red berries. Because I believe that their salvation was dependent somehow on the blood. It stood for blood. And that's true. We can't live without the life-giving oxygen that our blood gives to us and all the impurities it takes away from us. For us Christians, that blood is exemplified for us on the cross. It's a reminder that Jesus both gives us the oxygen of real life and takes away all the things that are impure in us. So when we see the red, it's appropriate at Christmas time, though the official color is the white, of course, of Christianity, because it too reminds us that God is our Savior. So this Christmas Eve, the rest of society may have run off, but we're still celebrating. May it be a celebration not of ourselves, nor pride in what we think we can do, but a turning again to the simple name Yahshua. And remind us, God is our Savior. Names, they're important to us, but the names used in the Bible are an important guide map to what God is all about. For God's purpose is to come among us, to walk with us, to save us, to be the power, to be the wind in our lives, to be our blood that flows through us. So this day, let us remember our names, but also in whose name we live and breathe. Amen.